Hello there, and thanks for tuning in to the Give Me Understanding podcast. I'm the host, Aaron Dodson. Psalm 119, verse 34 best describes this podcast. The psalmist wrote in long ago, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Thank you so much for those that tune in. This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text, and I do my best to help myself and others understand it, so that we can keep it with our whole heart. In this episode, I'm going to appeal to you to interact with the podcast. You can like on Facebook and also on the Podbean channel. And if you would, if you enjoy what you're hearing, please share these messages with others. In this episode, I want to talk about the love of God and how God's love is seen throughout the pages of the New Testament, particularly in the themes or the main ideas of all 27 books of the New Testament. So, if I just spend 1 minute on each, it'll be a 27-minute podcast, and I don't know that I'm going to spend a minute on each, but I want us to consider briefly the theme of each letter and how it demonstrates the great love of God. Some of my favorite passages include John 3:16, Romans 5:8, 1 John 4:19, God loved the world in such a way that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then the last passage I mentioned in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. The love of God is in every book of the Bible. It's throughout every letter, throughout every page. And the great love of God is what compels true, penitent, baptized believers to continue to remain loyal to Christ and to love the church for which Jesus died. Consider with me each letter in this episode, all right? First, Matthew is often styled as the book emphasizing Jesus the King. The love of God is seen just in that theme alone, that God sent his Son, Jesus, to be born king. The kingship of Jesus, the royalty of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, the kingdom, a word used 56 times in Gospel Matthew. God's love sent Jesus to be born king and to live and reign as king over the hearts and minds of men and women who love him. Second, God's love sent Jesus to be God's servant. The gospel according to Matthew emphasizes the great humility and selfless servitude of Jesus. The word "and" is used 914 times. The word "immediately" is used 36 times, more than most other letters of the New Testament, emphasizing how Jesus, as God's servant, was busy. And again, the love of God is seen in this. The love of God sent Jesus to be busy, ultimately, on our behalf and for our benefit and for our example. Third, God's great love is seen in the book of Luke in sending Jesus to be God's ideal man, his ideal person. Jesus, the Son of Man. The letter emphasizes the perfect humanity of Jesus, how he loved both Jew and Gentile, how he cared for not only the men of society, but for the women of society who were somewhat social outcasts and those who were considered even more on the fringe than women. Those who were poor, those who were sick, those who were considered great sinners, such as harlots. The perfect ideal man. This shows the love of God. The love of God sent God's ideal man to show us how to live. Number four, consider that God sent Jesus to be God's Son, which emphasizes the deity of the Son of God, the Son of Man. It was God's love, that deity was willing to leave the glories of heaven to live on this sin-sick world and to live a life for the benefit of sin-sick mankind and to die the death that he did for the sins of the world. That's the love of God. Consider, fifth, the book of Acts. It shows the love of God in establishing the church and blessing it to spread. No doubt, because this was in the mind of God from the beginning, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and other places. God's love is seen in that he calls a people out of the world by the gospel, and he places them into the body of Christ to be brothers and sisters. There's the love of God, the family of God, and the family of God growing and spreading and influencing the world, even today. Consider Romans. The love of God is shown in that it provided justification through Christ and the gospel. Romans 1:16. Justification is so powerful. It's to declare someone right. God's great love provided in Christ the opportunity for people to be just as if they had never sinned. Only the love of God can do that. Consider 1 Corinthians. The love of God gave instructions to a divided congregation on how to be united. Division, discipline, and also he answered questions to this congregation, which benefited us greatly today. A congregation that struggled to survive in a pagan society. We learn so much and we see God's love in it. Consider 2 Corinthians. The love of God blessed the Macedonian churches to be a bright example to all others, emphasizing that we as Christians ought to give ourselves to the Lord and the church. That's the love of God. The love of God is seen in God's blessing congregations and those congregations in turn being a bright example for the world and to the world. Consider Galatians, that short letter that details freedom in Christ. The letter to the Galatians emphasizes God's love in sending Jesus at the right time so that through faith we can be the children of God. And it emphasizes the love of God in the fact that there is one covenant community, the faithful remnant of the Old and New Testament, the Old and New Covenants. Today, it consists of Christians. Consider Ephesians. The love of God lavished us in many ways through many spiritual blessings and charged us with responsibilities. Truly, Ephesians emphasizes the riches and the responsibilities that we have in Christ. So many of them, and they emphasize the love of God. We are chosen, we're predestined to adoption, we're accepted in the Beloved, we're redeemed through His blood, we have the forgiveness of sins, His grace abounds toward us, we know the mystery of His will. He's made us alive, He saved us by grace through faith, He's made us His workmanship. Though we were once far off, now we're no longer strangers, we're citizens, we're saints, and we're members of God's household. How wonderful is that? And as a result, God's love moves us to keep the responsibilities that God has given us, to walk worthy of our calling, not as people of the world, but as imitators of God, to walk in love, to walk as children of light, to walk carefully in wisdom, to live the roles that God has given us, and to fight the good fight. Consider Philippians. The love of God provided us with joy no matter what. Paul wrote this letter in prison, and God provided for Paul and others who were loyal to him. God comforted the church at Philippi. The letter emphasizes that Christ is our life. He is our example. He is our hope, and He is our strength. And when Christ is our life, and He is our example that we follow, He is our hope, and He is our strength. We have joy no matter what, and that reminds us that God loves us. Consider Colossians. God gave Jesus, and that was His love, so that we would be complete in Him. That's the emphasis of Colossians. Jesus is preeminent. He's first and foremost in everything. And our life should reflect that priority that we are rooted in Him, alive in Him, hidden in Him, and again, complete in Him, Colossians 2:10. We're to be clothed in His love, with peace ruling our hearts. And by this, we are equipped to make Christ first in every area of our lives. Consider the God of love who provided detailed admonitions through the letter Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, to help us to prepare for Jesus' second coming. Consider 2 Thessalonians, the love of God instructed warnings regarding apostasy. He loves us so much, He don't want us to fall away. He gives us proper warnings and also instructions regarding withdrawal of fellowship to keep the church pure. Consider the love of God who gave 1 Timothy that emphasizes God's house rules. Truly, God has done everything He can do by His love to safeguard His house. And He does this through His house rules. Consider the love of God in 2 Timothy, how God strictly charged evangelists to preach the word, and He reminded them that they would stand before King Jesus on the judgment and give account for the things that they have taught and the way that they have lived. No doubt God did this because He loved the church and He wanted to protect it. Consider Titus. The love of God gave us the essentials for evangelism. Oh, those precious principles that were given to Titus as he was on the island of Crete. If the congregations of God's people today would just follow that letter, they would do so well in evangelism. Because God loves the church, He wants to see it grow. The love of God is seen in Philemon, in that God charged us to have brotherly love and forgiveness for one another. It's seen in Hebrews, and that God's love fulfilled all things through His Son so that we could enjoy the benefits of the way that Jesus provided. That Jesus is better. He is the best. His priesthood, His sacrifice, His continual intercession for His people. He is the best. Don't turn away. God loves you. James emphasizes the love of God by painting for us a portrait of what faith in action looks like. It's nice to have instructions to do things that are very important. And keeping the faith is very important. God loved us by giving us a portrait of what faith in action looks like, a faith that pleases God. That's James. The love of God is seen in 1 Peter. The love of God taught the church how to glorify Christ through suffering. Living the Christian life is not easy, and God knows that. And so He gave us 1 Peter to know that He loves us and that He's given us what we need so that we can know how to glorify Him during our hardships. The love of God is seen in 2 Peter. God's love gave us everything that pertains to life and godliness. God hasn't left out anything that we need. Never be tempted to think or fall for the temptation to think that God doesn't love us. He's not given us what we need for life and how to be godly. He affirms that in 2 Peter. I love you. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. You need to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. 1 Peter demonstrates the love of God. The love of God provided us with assurance in Christ, and oh, how we need assurance. In a world full of change and transition and worries and anxieties, we need assurance. The love of God has provided us assurance in Christ. Read 1 John. 2 John, the love of God warned about remaining in the teaching of Christ. He wants us to abide close to Him through the teachings of Christ. We cannot have God in Christ if we do not abide and live by the doctrine of Christ. And so a loving God warned us about remaining and abiding in the teaching of Christ. 3 John shows the love of God. The love of God said to imitate what is good, because what is good is most certainly what is best for us. And we don't need to navigate through life wondering or trying to determine what we think is good and best. Surely we need to use our discerning senses, but we use them as they are guided by the word of the living God to imitate what is good. That shows us God loves us. The letter Jude. The love of God charged us in the letter of Jude to earnestly contend for the faith and to build ourselves up on the most holy faith. We're to contend earnestly. God loves us, and He wants us to fight the good fight, and He wants others to learn from our teaching the truth and defending the truth because He loves them. And then finally, Revelation. The love of God is seen in the book of Revelation. Oh, it's so unfortunate that so many have been misled to think that Revelation does not serve any purpose for us today. Or on the other hand, the other extreme, that everything in Revelation is still future. Folks, both ideas are misguided and wrong. The love of God gave John a vision, whereby we can learn that God is in charge and that He will vindicate His saints if we will remain faithful, and that we can overcome against all odds. No matter how powerful Rome is, no matter how powerful America is, no matter how influential all the wicked people and governments and everything, no matter how influential they may seem to be, if we will devote ourselves by love to Christ, we can overcome against all odds. And folks, that shows God loves us. And when you read Revelation, try to get the main idea first. And then in every chapter, try to see how that theme is shown in that chapter or in that section of Revelation. That we, as His people, have what we need to overcome against all odds. We must be faithful even if it kills us. We must not leave our first love. We must not be lukewarm. It makes God sick. We must not play or toy with worldliness. We must give ourselves continually to the love of God, be loved by Him, and in return, show that love toward Him to glorify Him so that we can know I can overcome against all odds. Every letter in the New Testament emphasizes the great love of God in Christ. I hope something in this podcast has spurred you, has helped you, has moved you, has edified you in some way to look at each letter as God's instructions for us to remind us how much God loves us, and what that means, and how we need to access it and live by it, and in turn love Him and love others. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this, please share it. May it be a blessing to others. God bless. We'll catch you next time.